the latest we know about this San Bernardino shooting is that the woman who took part with her husband had pledged allegiance to the Islamic State group and its leader on Facebook, and she deleted that message before the attacks. This U.S. law enforcement official says that Tashfeen Malik used an alias on Facebook. She was from Pakistan. She came to the U.S. last year on a fiancé visa before Syed Farouk married her in California. So that's what we know. That's what we know now. We asked you to tell us how you feel in a word or so, and we heard this.
Crazy.
Blasé.
Prepared.
Terrorism.
Frustrated.
Cynical.
Disgusted. Makes me embarrassed to be a human being. We can be so cruel and stupid and destructive.
Where are you right now, Dan Savage?
Flabbergasted. Are we sticking with one word?
Yeah, that's it.
Where am I on the San Bernardino shooting?
Yeah, I mean, geez, it's like pick a shooting. San Bernardino, Planned Parenthood.
It's nice that we're
Seattle calling Jewish it. Federation, Newtown.
It's nice that we're calling the San Bernardino, not nice, it's appropriate, it's being called terrorism. We should pass time that they should be calling the shooting at Planned Parenthood a form of terrorism and holding Carly Fiorina and Mike Huckabee responsible for ginning that up.
These are the videos taken out of context, edited videos of a
Planned Parenthood. And Carly Fiorina and Mike Huckabee have been running around the country saying it's baby parts, Planned Parenthood is selling baby parts. And the shooter goes to the Planned Parenthood office and when he's arrested says, I wanted to stop them from selling baby parts. Quotes Mike Huckabee and Carly Fiorina. There needs to be some accountability there.
So are you going right to the shooting and the context of it that gets your particular blood boiling? You know, and
what gets my
are you are you aligning the
is the ease and the availability of guns everywhere. Yeah. I tweet about it and I'm barraged with responses from quote unquote responsible gun owners claiming that they are made to look terrible by these idiots who have access to guns and shoot up abortion clinics and their offices, Christmas parties. And my response to them always is, you would think the people most invested in there being a really high bar set for gun ownership would be responsible gun owners. That if we knew that you owned a gun and what we could infer from that was you were licensed, you were trained, that you were someone who could be trusted with a firearm, we would then infer from gun ownership, this is a responsible person that you would want around in an emergency. All we can infer from gun ownership right now when we see some idiot with a gun is that could be one of those idiots with a gun. That is, we have to assume that someone who is dangerous, for our own protection, we have to assume that someone who's dangerous. Because any idiot can get their hands on military-grade firepower in this country and shoot up an office, a daycare center, a school, a Planned Parenthood clinic, a Jewish Federation center. It is insanity. And it, as the president says, it's not like this in all other Western democracies.
Former State Attorney General Gerard McKenna, what do you have to say?
Well, I think whether or not it's terrorism is important. You know, when the Paris incident occurred, and you had heavily armed jihadists, killing over 120 people. It raised the question of how did they get the weapons? You know, who trained them? Who organized them? Et cetera. If the incident in San Bernardino fits that model, we need to know that because it's tragic enough when someone who is mentally unstable, as we saw in Aurora, for example, or as we saw in Newtown, kills a lot of innocents. That we have to get on top of that in terms of how we address mental illness, for example, and standards for gun ownership. I think Dan's right about that as well. But if we're talking about an organized terrorist act, we need to know who else is here, who are they working with, et cetera, because this is quite different than madness. This is organized murder, right? And this becomes an important national security.
But we shouldn't accept the low-level, daily in-and-out thrum of gun violence in this country.
I completely agree.
Suicides, intimate partner violence. The average shootings in Las Vegas, this man went next door, shot a woman in front of her children, and then shot one of her children, and then shot himself. It didn't even make the news. Six people shot at a campground and killed. Didn't even make the news because it's just ho-hum, not terrorism, not ISIS, not brown people, nothing to worry about, nothing to see here. Routine gun violence. And we just accept it and live with it, and it is obscene.
Melanie McFarland.
Yeah, you were asking what, in one word, I'm frustrated. And what I'm frustrated about is that there hasn't been any kind of political action or any kind of wider action at a larger level, a nationwide level, to do something about this. And I'm referring both to our gun violence epidemic and mental illness. It always seems that in the aftermath of one of these shootings, there's always a thing like, well, it's not the gun that kills people, it's the person. If the person is mentally unstable, it's okay, well, maybe do something about both. You know, there's all these statistics that come out after one of these mass shootings happened. The most distressing ones are that, you know, Black Friday gun sales went through the roof. That is absolutely alarming, because what exactly do the people who are purchasing those guns, what exactly are they prepping for?
Well, if they feel like they could get shot anytime at a holiday party.
So we need all these guns to protect us from all these guns.
Right.
Well, their theory is more about themselves than
right.
it is that they're solving a social problem.
My response to that is, if you are in a situation where suddenly there is lethal violence in front of you, even if you have a concealed weapons permit and you have a concealed weapon on you, do you have the tactical training to actually address that? Have you ever been in a situation where you have had violence or been under duress and been able to respond in that situation? Human beings in general, that's not, you can, there are stories of people who have, you know, high degrees of training in any kind of martial art or something like that, and still get mugged.
The cops.
So, I mean, that's the thing that really distresses me, is that the response in the aftermath after this is more guns and then no response in terms of doing something about it.
Can I just hear, has Rob McKenna agreed with Dan Savage about gun standards? I just want to give you a word about, I don't know whether you're a gun owner. I know all Republicans aren't alike. I just want to know from your point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I own a gun, a shotgun for hunting that I inherited. Never been fired as far as I know, but that has a lot of sentimental value. So I don't know if I really qualify as a gun owner or not. But I do think that it's a settled question that people in this country have a right to own guns. So I completely understand and respect the frustration that I'm hearing here.
People in this country have a right to abortion, and Republicans have regulated the hell out of that and made it almost impossible for many women in many parts of the country to exercise that right. I'd like to see the same restrictions and impositions placed on the right to own a gun that Republicans have placed on the right to terminate a pregnancy.
There is a fundamental right to own a gun that many Democrats as well as Republicans support. So if the implication is we just ban all guns, that's simply not going to happen. It's unconstitutional. You'll never get the statutes through or adopted that would be required. You'll not get a constitutional amendment adopted. The reason that gun sales spiked might be in part because people are worried about gun violence directed against themselves and want to defend themselves. It might also be because they're concerned that the government is going to take their right to own guns away, and they're going to go buy theirs now while they still can.
But I want to let someone who's not in the room speak for a moment. This is a mother of four living in Snohomish County named Zarbi Kakar, who says her fear has been on two fronts, as an American and as a Muslim. She says not long after the Paris attacks, this happened.
I was shopping, and out of nowhere, this man followed me from aisle to aisle to aisle, and finally came face to face to me and said, "You are responsible for the death of my mother." And I looked at him and I said, "Excuse me, what are you talking about?" He said, "You people killed my mother in the war." I don't know. I'm only assuming maybe his mom was in the military, maybe his mom. But he came and attacked me, and he had one of his hand in his pocket. And at that moment, I didn't know what was in his pocket. I literally stopped everything and just walked out of that store.
And Zarbi told us that since the shooting in San Bernardino, her fears have gotten worse. And let's see if I can bring you that. Okay, this is what she said.
Honestly, I am attached to the TV and hoping and praying with all my heart that it's not a Muslim. Because when it is a Muslim, it affects each one of us all over the world. Yesterday and today was the saddest day in my 30 years of living in the United States, that I had to tell my daughters to adjust what they were wearing. And I asked them to put on hats instead of scarves. I was worried whether they were going to be attacked because of how they were dressed. As a mom, this is with great sadness that I came home. I was literally sitting there at the bus stop, and on my way home, I was driving with tears that today I have to go through this here in a country where you find safety and security. And I feel like that's not there anymore.
Thank you to Zarbi Kekar for talking with us on KUOW. Any final words about shootings before we talk about the other things that thankfully also are in the news this week?
I do want to say one thing just to address Rob. Mm-hmm. You are, sadly, you are probably right that it's not going to change, and that's the root of my frustration. But in other countries, they have managed to do something about gun violence. You can say that there's all kinds of differences in terms of, you know, why there is that citizens cannot own handguns in the United Kingdom and in Japan, or after, you know, the fact that there hasn't been any, haven't been any mass shootings since 1996 in Australia, because there was, the prime minister stood up and said, we have to do something about this, and the citizens reagreed. And, you know, so, but this is a problem that we actually have to have politicians stand up and say, you know what? We have to stand against this. This is an epidemic, and it keeps on happening.
Stand against the epidemic of gun violence? Or do you mean
standing against the rampant ownership of guns in this country? Yeah.
You're doing that thing that conservatives do when you talk about legalizing marijuana. They go, oh, what about heroin? No one's talking about banning all gun ownership.
No, I think some people are talking about. I think Melanie's talking about banning.
No, what do you want to call for?
Rod, you can own a gun in Australia. You can own a gun in Canada.
Well, let's find out.
Own a gun in the United
but
Kingdom.
But not in Japan.
It's regulated.
Let's find out.
What regulation
are you calling for right now, Rob McKenna?
Well,
what do you want?
The first and most important thing to address is access to guns by people who are mentally ill, which means improving the background check system that we have in place, which is flawed. That has to be strengthened. I would start with that, show that's efficacious, that it works, and then look for other steps that need to be taken.
Unfortunately, sometimes we only find out that someone with a gun is mentally ill after they shoot up a school, before.
And they could still obtain a gun from somebody who has legal ownership, who went through all of those.
My point is simply that we baked this into the Constitution initially. It's been upheld repeatedly. And this is not just a matter of legalism. This is a right that
we
many people...
We baked slavery into the Constitution.
This is a right that many people in this country hold dear. You can change the Constitution. Absolutely. It could be changed. Part of our civic dialogue and our political system should be a conversation about what should be kept and what needs to be changed. I don't disagree with that. I'm just suggesting to you there are a lot of people who believe it's very, very important that they continue to have the right to possess firearms. Mm-hmm. So it will not
including the very well-funded NRA. And there are many gun owners who will not be
who
in
were
the NRA
funded by millions of Americans who pay dues to the NRA members.
And there are a lot of people who once upon a time believed it was very important to them to continue to own people.
Look,
and they had to
we all get that you guys disagree with the people who think they should have a right to own guns. I'm just observing that they have a view also. And they will stand up, they will be politically active, and they will stymie efforts to take their own rights to own guns away.
Okay, team, I hope we never talk about this again. I'm skeptical, but thank you. This is The Strangers, editorial director Dan Savage. We have Melanie McFarlane here, journalist, writes at McTelevision, and the former state attorney general, Rob McKenna.